Welcome to What You Say in English, the podcast where you can get feedback on your speaking skills.
Just send your recording, and Frank will tell you what you're doing great and where you probably need to improve on.
What are you waiting for? We want to hear what you say in English.
Well, hello everybody and good morning. Today is another hot summer day in Madrid, in the center of Madrid. Today, as I told you last week, I'm going to look at the vocabulary that we use when we speak English. Now, in terms of teaching terminology, we call this lexis. Lexis has to do with a lexical resource that students can produce, spoken vocabulary. Now, a definition that I can tell you about vocabulary is that it represents all the words known and used by a particular person. However, a person knowing a word does not mean that he or she will be able to comprehend or use this word in a proper manner. The reason being, there are several characteristics of word knowledge, which are in turn utilized to assess word knowledge. Now, when I listen to people speak English, I know that word knowledge could be classified into types. We have productive and receptive. Very often it has been observed that there is no flawless division made between productive knowledge, also known as achieve, and receptive knowledge, which we call receive. It has been observed also that a person's receptive vocabulary is usually larger than productive vocabulary, meaning that we usually know more words, or we can recognize more words that we didn't even know. I mean, as a second language speaker, we usually recognize words, especially if our language shares a lot of similarities with the target language, in this case, English. For example, a child who cannot speak can follow quite a number of instructions given in language which he or she is used to. When the child learns to speak, write, and do all the things that they can do with the language, they do those things automatically. But when the child learns to speak or to write, then that passive vocabulary becomes active. So we can say that receptive vocabulary is those words or that vocabulary which we get to hear or which we receive but from somebody else in the language we're exposed to. Of course, between the productive and receptive division lies a variety of abilities which are frequently referred to as degree of knowledge. That's what I pay attention when I listen to people speak in English. This shows that our word knowledge increases more and more as words enter our vocabulary. There are four types of vocabulary. We have vocabulary for listening, for speaking, for reading, and for writing. I'm going to focus more on listening and speaking vocabulary because they represent the spoken vocabulary, and reading and writing represent, you know, another thing, and I'm not going to cover those things. Children begin to learn spoken vocabulary years before they learn written vocabulary. And this is very, very important because sometimes we have words that we produce in speaking, but we normally don't use in writing. And this has to, there has to be a division, a separation between those two. Each type of vocabulary has a different purpose, and fortunately, the growth in one type of vocabulary supports the growth in another type. When we look at listening vocabulary, we talk about the vocabulary that refers to the words we hear and we can understand. When you start learning a language, you are exposed to a lot of vocabulary, and as teachers, we don't expect the students to produce that kind of vocabulary. Of course, there are more words you are exposed to, and we only focus on vocabulary that belongs to a certain level. Now, speaking vocabulary refers to the words we can produce. Our speaking vocabulary is usually restricted, especially for English learners. And we make the division between, according to the levels that I explained last week. When we talk about the CEFR, the Common European Framework for Languages, we usually divide the vocabulary into those levels, the A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, and C2. Now, among native speakers, most of the adults use almost between 5,000 to 10,000 words for communication, for conversation and giving instructions. When we talk about learners of English, that number varies. There are three levels in the system of vocabulary that we produce. I normally look at three levels of vocabulary. The first level is basic words like happy, clean, fast, sad, etc. Then there's level two, which I consider to be intermediate level, with words with high frequency, words with multiple meanings, and so on. And then the third level, which I consider to be advanced or proficient, words with low frequency, words that do not appear very commonly in language, words which are specified to a particular category like science, maths, social sciences, etc., like, you know, chasm, warp, quantum, and things like that. In the CEFR levels, when we go to from A1 to C2, vocabulary is usually linked to grammar. I would say up to B2. Of course, when we go from A1, we have learners that use vocabulary in isolated words and phrases. They cannot link words successfully. Well, they can, but of course, they usually have this kind of one word. It's usually what we call limited control of vocabulary. An A2 learner, for example, can use vocabulary to talk about everyday situations, and we include here high frequency words, as I said before. In B1, at B1 level, the range increases. The vocabulary is usually appropriate when talking about familiar topics, when you talk about things around you, common things in family environments and school or work. At B2 level, the vocabulary expands to exchange views on a range of familiar topics. And this is very important because when we, even at B2 level, which, if you remember my last episode, B2 is independent. I mean, the learner becomes independent. At C1 level, the lexical resource, the vocabulary that a learner produces, gets more separated from grammar because the learner uses a range of appropriate vocabulary to give and exchange views on familiar and unfamiliar topics. Let's say the person starts a conversation about a topic that probably they don't know much about, but they can still have conversation with good vocabulary that does not stop communication. At a proficiency level, which is C2, the range of vocabulary becomes really extends, and not only to give, but also to exchange views on on familiar and unfamiliar topics, and of course, abstract topics, which is usually a problem for lower level learners. And of course, we have the post C2 level. And of course, you know, the range of vocabulary increases and the person can possibly have a very broad extension of vocabulary. And you might wonder what kind of things I pay attention to when I look at vocabulary. Well, I pay attention to how appropriate the vocabulary is depending on the context. At low levels, for example, just by using the word, I would probably say that, yeah, you know the word. But at intermediate and advanced levels, I pay attention to things like collocations, that words that usually go together. a common mistake among Spanish speakers is the collocation, the typical collocation of to take a picture. In Spain, they use the collocation make a picture. It makes sense in Spanish, but it doesn't make much sense in English. And that's collocation. And that also has to do with how appropriate the type of vocabulary is. I don't even pay attention. If it has to be exclusively vocabulary, I don't even pay attention to the way you say the word. Of course, it's important, but just by showing that you know the word, there's a word and I know how to use it, and I'm using it in the right context, then that's a merit in itself. And of course, I give credit to the students for that. It is part of the accomplishment that they have, of course, depending on the level. And of course, if the person is testing, let's say for an advanced or proficiency level, I pay attention to how they pronounce the word, because it's part of what we pay attention to, vocabulary knowledge. It's knowing how to say the word. Now, talking about tips that I can give you to increase vocabulary size, believe it or not, you can actually learn more vocabulary by using family of words. Grouping words together in a topic is also very useful. If you talk about sports, then you have a word, you know, sports, and then you can create a word web with different kinds of sports. If it's individual sports, if it's group sports, if it's sports that you can play, sports that you can play with your hands, play with your feet, and things like that. So this is what we call classification. So you can start classifying words so you can memorize them, remember them better. And what I mentioned before about family words, every time you learn a new word, try to think about how many variations of that word you can come up with. So we have, for example, the word danger. We know that it's a noun, but what about the verb? What about the adjective or the adverb? Well, we have the verb for danger is endanger. We have dangerous, which is the adjective. And then we have dangerously, which is the adverb. Of course, not all the words can be derived, can be, you know, formed into different categories of words, but it works most of the time. So whenever you learn a new word, try to make the family words that, you know, accompanies them. So you know that you can expand vocabulary like that. And of course, learning the rules of affixation, you know, how to use prefixes, making words negative. For example, if it's an adjective, we know that adjectives can be positive or negative. We use prefixes, negative prefixes. We can also use suffixes to create new words, I mean, change them into the different categories and things like that. Learning vocabulary is a never-ending task. You never stop learning new words. Trust me, I've been living here in Spain for more than 12 years, and even though I speak Spanish since I was a little kid, I'm still learning new words, of course, local words from Spain. So don't feel bad about not knowing enough words in English. It's an ongoing process. And remember, you have to set up a goal of learning at least one or two words every week and start using them. Think about possible ways in which you can use those words. Think about contexts. Think about situations. YouTube can help you with that. Just type in the word and see how many possibilities there are to use the word in that context. And of course, remember that I'm always here sending your recording, and I will listen to it and I will tell you what I think about what you say in English. Next week, we're going to be talking about discourse, which is a little bit tricky because discourse is a little bit tricky because it has to do a little bit with grammar and a little bit with vocabulary. It's how we combine them in a different context. Of course, I don't want to spoil anything, so you have to wait until next week when we talk about discourse. So this is all for now, and see you next week. Bye-bye.